We're going to show you how to shoot some video and edit it right there on your device.
And it's the return of a classic arcade game.
Before we round things out with an excellent camera app that I forgot existed.
Guess what? It's time for iOS Today! iOS Today comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by LastPass. From access to authentication to passwords, LastPass manages every entry point to your business so you can mitigate risk while improving employee productivity. Visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. And by Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost, because everything is online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan. And get the plan shipped to your door free at mintmobile.com/iOS. And by Zapier. Zapier connects all your business software and handles the work for you so you can focus on what matters most. Right now, through the end of the month, go to zapier.com/iOS for your free 14-day trial. Hello, everybody. Welcome to iOS Today. I, on the this side, would be Leo Laporte. He is in ether, in the ether. He is Micah Sargento.
I am Sargento.
Sargento. Hey, Sargento. Okay. There's really only one question this week on iOS Today. Only one question we're asking everybody. Team Joe Exotic or Team Big Cat Rescue?
Oh, dear God. I haven't watched.
What?
I haven't watched the show yet. Everybody's into the show, and I've not seen any of it. What is it about? Can you tell me? Because I don't understand. I just know there's something to do with like salmon and making somebody eat.
There's no salmon. There's no fish involved. It's all about giant cats. a private. Well, let's not get. It's a private zoo in Oklahoma. It's about a number of different collectors, illegal collectors of big cats, tigers and liger. There is a liger. I didn't even know that. Ligers, lions, and then their nemesis, who is in Florida, who has kind of a similar setup with a bunch of lions and tigers, called Big Cat Rescue, and the battle between them. It's a true story. It's a documentary. All about Joe Exotic and all of these very strange people. And I realize the reason everybody's watching, it's free on Netflix right now. It's a 7-part documentary series. And so it's a good 7 hours at least of mind-numbing fun. And it's so impossible to take your eyes off of horrible. Not in a bad way, in just like, I mean, he's got a mullet. I mean, the guy, it's crazy that you forget the coronavirus exists for 7 hours. And I think for people who are watching it, as kind of horrific and weird as it is, and then it's also the pleasure of, you know, it's the reason I think sometimes people go to see car racing, waiting for the accident. You're just waiting for one of these tigers to just chew on one of these people,
right?
Which doesn't really happen. If you're an animal rights advocate, I spoiled it.
No one gets
eaten? No, there are a couple of moments. There's one very funny moment where Joe says, I don't know, somebody sprayed cologne on all my shoes because tiger was all over him. And the tiger does, in fact, try to eat him, and he's whapping him with his cane. It's pretty funny.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch this.
He has an injury, an injury that isn't specified, but I have to think a tiger tried to take his knee off at one point. I don't know. Anyway, it's strange. There are people with few teeth. There are lots of guns and ammo and explosions, and there are beautiful tigers and big cats, and I think it really is this escapist.
There are guns?
Well, If you're playing with the big cats, you're running with the big cats, you're going to have... Yeah, Joe had a kind of gun thing going on. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I learned a few things.
Okay.
I learned what a Prince Albert was, which, wow. And, you know... So
the piercing?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, this is... What?
It is a slice of society that one does not normally learn anything about. And so yeah. I think it's consider it kind of like a National Geographic trip down into the exotic.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, I'm sorry. I thought you must have watched it by now. But I'm passing this along. If you love animals, and who doesn't, right? And I know you do. Then you will be on Team Big Cat Rescue. But even Big Cat Rescue is a little strange, and the whole thing is fascinating in a creepy way.
Oh man,
that's my review. I'll, thank you. Two thumbs up.
That sounds great.
Well,
two thumbs
one and a half thumb because the other thumb was bitten.
Oh, that's very clever. That's very clever. So we are talking about video shooting and video editing on iOS, specifically with these great devices we have for capturing video. There's a lot of competition in the still photo shooting space when it comes to Pixel and the iPhone and Samsung's devices. But when it comes to video, I feel, and I've heard you mention before, that Apple really kind of has it locked in. They've got great video shooting capabilities. And so given that we have these devices that can shoot video and in all sorts of frame rates and all sorts of sizes, resolutions, it's time to talk about that and how to sort of make the most of doing all of it right there on your device and figuring out our workflows. So yeah.
I think we might have buried the lead here.
Okay.
Hold up your iPad.
Which one?
Uh-huh. Are you using the new one? Look at that.
Here's the new one.
And he's covering the massive camera bump. It's a good reason to think about this now because you finally have a really good pair of cameras on the back and a very good camera on the front. You could shoot very good video. Can you shoot 4K with the new iPad? I think you can.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So not only is the iPad now... I mean, we talked about this when we talked about the announcement last week. I think Apple is now positioning this to be a real laptop computer, especially with that keyboard and the trackpad support, which are coming out. The trackpad support's already out and very nice, by the way. I played with it. I was going to bring my trackpad today. I forgot, but very nice. And then the power that's in this thing with the additional, they didn't change the CPU, the central processing unit, but the graphics processing unit has more channels, so it's much more capable. In fact, I saw a guy doing a render. I think it was ProRes video. It was twice as fast on your new iPad Pro compared to this 2018 iPad Pro, the other one that you and I have. So honestly, I think this is maybe this. There's the stage is now set for this to be your only computer. And as you point out, with photo editing, doable. There's lots of choices. This is the question we're going to answer today. How about video editing?
Video.
Because you certainly can create with this, and you can switch with it. You could do all sorts of things with it. The question is, can you edit that video you create? So let me start with Apple's solutions, right? There's no Final Cut for iPad yet.
Sadly.
But Apple does have their long-time traditional video editing tools. You know, I have to show you this. So I have photo editors, and there's three pages of photo editors. I have video editing, and that's it, right? So that's kind of saying a little bit about it. The two programs you already have, and if you don't, you can download them, are iMovie, and I'll show you that. And this is a traditional – it's the same movie that I had on it last time. I'm playing this on the TV. Go ahead, wait a minute. Oh, I have to do that. Let's start over here. Let me go back. Here we go. Here's my video, such as it is. Kids, these used to be called cruise ships or giant virus incubation ships on the ocean. And Boy, in the old days, we used to love going on these.
That golf course was on a cruise ship?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So this is all I had.
It's very, very fun.
But the point of this is that the kind of editing that you would do on here, which is called timeline editing, is good but simple. You know, this is the timeline down here at the bottom. You can do some transitions. You can add video from your library. You can add photos from your library. You can also do transitions, and that's one of the big things people are looking for. You can edit audio, and there's even sound effects, which I should probably put in a golf swing sound effect. I wonder if there is one on here. Yeah, golf hit. So let's just stick that in there. And the way you do it is you just drag it into the timeline. Actually, I think it's already in the timeline. And then you can drag it around once you have it in the timeline. So this is the whole, it's pretty straightforward. It's very easy to understand. And I would bet anybody watching the show has at least dabbled, as which is what this is, dabbled. There it is. There's the golf hit. Let's put this right about, where was that golf course? Right about there. Like at the transition, right?
And then you can,
then you can move this timeline thing. You can move it back. You can trim. There's a few things you can do. So let's move this back here and play it and see how the golf swing plays. Stupid. So you get the idea. Okay, you get the idea. Should I put a jet in? Let's put a jet in. Add a jet. Now, how much would you pay?
Oh my gosh.
And you know, you might want to add a dinosaur growl, cuz that's always handy. Maybe after the jet passes by, the dinosaur will growl. Or maybe that's just somebody after the buffet. Or it could be norovirus. So the whole idea of this is very simple but very easy to use. I should show some of the titles too, because the titling is great. They have, let's see, this is more media. Let's get out of the media thing. They have a variety of, project themes. So I probably should have used the travel project theme. You can use the theme soundtrack. You could fade in from black, fade out. It's the idea is let's make this as simple as possible. So that's now even simpler though. That's iMovie is Apple's Clips, which they made a big deal about when they announced it, and then
now you don't really hear
nothing
so much about it.
Maybe the problem is it's sideways. I don't know. They've added more stuff to it, more posters, more capabilities. So it's kind of fun. This is really their idea of editing for social media, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're meant to sort of create,
clips,
you're meant to
right?
shoot, create, and immediately publish to to social all from that one spot.
What you can't see here is how frustrating this is, because this is an iPad, right? And you know how much I complain about sideways apps. I don't know why but I guess it's for the phone more than for the iPad.
Yeah, kind of meant for the phone.
Except it is an iPad version. I mean, it's not.
Right, they've made an iPad version.
How hard would that be? So, same thing. They've got soundtracks. You can add your own music. This is for putting stuff on TikTok or Instagram or Snapchat stories. I think there's a lot you could do with it. It's pretty cool. You know, they've got all these kind of silly game day. That's something we won't see for a while. I'm sorry. I should stop with the coronavirus jokes. So I just want to make sure we're going to talk about third-party tools, which are a lot better and a lot more capable. But for simple editing, for quick and dirty, if you don't want to become a video editing pro, remember, you've got iMovie and you've got Clips. Both are downloadable free from the App Store. They're from Apple. And I think they're fine. But Micah has higher standards.
I do. But I do want to talk about, there was one thing about Clips that's kind of fun, and it uses your, let me change.
Oh, you're in the great outdoors.
Yes.
That actually is doing a pretty good job, much better than Zoom does.
Yeah, that's because
there's
it's
a
using
break up
the true depth camera.
Right. So you want to use the front facing camera to do that.
Yeah, to shoot these. And so there are some different high noon. Oh, I'm going to go do a stand.
And they've been adding more of these all the time. So you don't get bored with this. And this is to compete with Snapchat and other stuff, right? I mean, you could do all this.
And they've partnered with Pixar and things like that. So you've got Dory's Reef here.
That's nice.
You've got the scare floor of Monsters, Inc., et cetera. So, yeah, you can see it does a pretty good job of actually pulling out my microphone and the boom arm and things like that.
Yeah. And you can use Memojis with this, which I think Apple would like you to do since they took all the trouble to invent it and nobody uses them.
Absolutely.
So that's Clips. I think, you know, you should have both, right?
I want this too.
You should have both.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly, like I said, the quickness of Clips is kind of nice to really get you through it.
But do you use it?
I don't personally. No. I know some folks who've seen success with it, but for me, it's one of those services that overdoes the simplicity. And in overdoing the simplicity, it makes it more difficult for me to use.
Yes. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, one would think. So let's talk about one that I often recommend because of its simplicity, but it is also a fantastic app for quickly creating something that you're going to like. And that is called Quick. Quick is
Oh, you showed this app. Before. In fact, this I yes. used to use this for years. This was the thing. And then they kind of faded away. I'm glad they brought it back.
This was an app that was purchased by GoPro and sort of revitalized after it had been kind of kicked to the curb for a little while.
Well, yeah,
now.
You talked about this before. I used it for years when it was a startup. I'm glad they're back, actually.
Yeah, they're back with a vengeance. It's one of my favorite apps to use.
Few days in Springfield. This should be exciting.
Now, these are some flashbacks that it automatically creates.
Oh, nice.
But we'll go to an afternoon in Las Vegas.
Ooh, when did you do this? Ooh, I like the music. Every single day. An event you went to?
Yes. So this would have been CES in, what was that?
Years ago.
2017. Now, you can see the photos that it kind of chose were not that great. And so often what I'll do is I'll go in. And
but it gives you a starting point. And so then you can replace
it. Exactly. Yeah. So you can see all these different types of styles that you can choose from. I never made it. You can go in and edit them. You can change the music. So that it fits the theme, more music if you want, more different types of music. And then here you can see the different photos that it chose automatically. Most of these are actually video. And then you can make adjustments to the format. So you can have it as a standard horizontal version or portrait or square.
Nice.
So it's ready for all those different times, depending on what you do. What kind of footage you're taking. But if you give it access to your photo stream, then it will automatically create these little flashbacks for you. And I think that that's kind of one of my favorite things about it.
But, you know, Google does that. Apple Photos does. They all do that. You think this is one of the better ones, the automatic?
Yes. And that's because of the way that it creates... that it creates the video. I've never seen one more perfectly sort of get the timing right.
Oh, they match the beat and all that.
Yeah, they match the beat. They get the timing right. So you can change the duration. It'll give you suggestions for the duration as well. And based on, how you set it up, then it does a good job of like you said, getting the timing right. I think that's a big deal for having both photos and videos look good. So let me see here. I want to show what this looks like when I take some footage. So I'm going to grab some footage really quick. I know you can't see it yet, but I'm just going to grab some footage here and show you. Dun, dun, dun. So I am downloading some clips here to my device. And, well, actually, this might take a while. So it does, it honors your settings for what you have on your iCloud photo library. So if the footage is not downloaded locally, then it'll go ahead and pull that footage to your device, which it then lets you edit. So that way, you know, whenever you pop into the app and it's just loaded now.
Ooh. And this is all royalty-free music, right?
So yes.
Yeah. It should be.
September we met. I can tell by your smile.
Yeah, exactly.
You hadn't been with a good girl like me in a while. Yeah, you were.
Did it pick this song?
Couldn't leave me alone.
Yes, it picked.
Text me every time.
It automatically picked that sort of style, and it uses, like I said, the duration of the music. Sort of, it can guess based on the location that you have, the type of footage, what it thinks you should do, and then of course you can make an adjustment because it chose a style called light here. And that is not one that, you know, I automatically choose or anything like that. So,
but
it
it's really easy to change that. You can just, as you can see, you just pick something else. So, an afternoon in Little River.
In a world.
Where a river looks like an ocean. And the rocks are deadly beasts. There's a man come to town. You want me to do the narration for it? Because,
Lovely. So that's one example. And like I said, Quick is what I love about Quick is it's built into the name. It's right there.
It's
it
Quick.
It really makes it easy to quickly put together a video.
We should point out it's spelled wrong.
Yes, Q-U-I-K.
So don't go looking for Q-U-I-C-K because that's something else.
No. Yeah. But my brother-in-law, he wanted to put together a cutesy video for my sister. And so he naturally came to the app guy and asked me, you know, what should I use? And I said, oh, absolutely, hands down, Quick. And he was so thankful. And now he uses it all the time.
Nice.
That app. So,
nice.
Good way to, and I love it, not even just for video, but for photos too. If you want to take a, for example, my mom, whenever she visited, I made a quick video of her visit, and it was really easy to take all the photos that we'd taken, pick out the best ones, and then put them together, and then send that to the family, and have everybody be able to see what her trip was like. And Quick makes that, as it says, quick and super simple. Up next, we should talk about an app called Double Take, because Double Take is the app that lets you shoot multiple video at once. So this app lets you quickly shoot multiple videos. So I will choose in the bottom left corner which lenses I want to shoot with. And let's say the wide angle lens and the selfie lens. I'll click confirm. And then if I hit the record button in the bottom right corner, it will record both of these lens views at the same time.
Yeah.
As opposed to shooting, instead of just shooting one video that has this view here and my view here, all sort of overlaid, it shoots these videos separately as their own track that you can then edit together exactly how you want. So it's, you know, timing is accurate and syncing is accurate.
Now,
to sync those videos
this is
up.
That thing that Filmic Pro was also going to do.
Yes.
Does this do it better or differently? Or
it is made by the folks who make Filmic Pro.
Oh, this is their Filmic Pro. This is the free version of it.
What had happened was they had announced that they were going to do this feature for Filmic Pro.
Right.
And they were trying to figure out a sort of graceful way to integrate it into the Filmic Pro app.
Because
we all paid
a lot of money for Filmic Pro.
A lot of money for Filmic Pro, exactly. And then it turns out that they have not figured out how they want to integrate it into the app. And so since they sort of had announced on Apple stage, hey, this is something that we're doing, I don't know about this part, but what I get is that there's a little bit of pressure to make this feature available. So they rolled out a free app called Double Take. Completely free, no in-app purchases, nothing, that lets you do exactly that. And then in the meantime, they put out the word that they are working on adding it to Filmic Pro.
Nice.
So I'm a little annoyed because I know you and I both purchased Filmic Pro ahead of time expecting this feature to be rolled in, and then they went and released Double Take for free that has this feature built into it.
But I think they're still planning to put it in Filmic Pro. And as I remember, they said, we won't charge you any extra.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
Now that you've already bought, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is a nice feature. And so you said something, I want to emphasize this. You can see picture in picture as you're shooting it, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean you're getting picture in picture when on the recording. The recording is separate views from each camera. So you can use one of these editors we're talking about to go back and forth. You could still do picture in picture with I think iMovie let you do that. Some of the other editors will let you do that. So you still have that option. But more likely what you're going to do is more traditional editing where you have a close-up of Micah going, and then a picture of the app going, and then a close-up of Micah going, wah. And that way you're recording it once, but you're getting it separately so you can use it later. I think that's a nice feature.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's just one that I wanted to mention as something that folks should be looking
for
out
for. For your recording, not your editing, but for your recording.
Exactly,
that's great.
For recording, yeah. Because again, these cameras that we have are fantastic.
So good.
Yeah. And for shooting video are excellent. And so you might as well take advantage of that. And so
And by the way, you can now use that fancy new iPad Pro.
With its dual camera system.
Mm-hmm.
Although right now, launching Double Take on the new iPad Pro crashes the app. So they have not yet updated it to provide for that yet.
Yeah, that's brand new. They take a little time to do.
Yeah. So speaking of Filmic, I did want to give a little shout out to Filmic here. Look at my beautiful wires. So this is the Filmic Pro app. And what's kind of cool is that Filmic has a Filmic Pro remote that lets you control shooting of a device. And let me add... that's not how I want to do that. I want to do picture in picture. And so you can see here, this is my iPhone. I'm going to connect to my iPad, and then I can control Filmic Pro from my iPhone using the Filmic Pro remote.
Wait a minute. This is, whatever you're doing, we can't even do this in the big studio. You have picture in picture of your iPhone and the iPad.
Yes.
But that's not what Filmic Pro
does. So I'm just, sorry. I'm trying to show what it looks like on my iPhone. That's this little rectangle here that I'm moving up and down.
Yeah.
This is what's currently on my iPhone. And then in the background, you can see the iPad currently has the view. So what I can do is I'm going to hit the, in the bottom right corner of my iPhone, the little, the little square there,
the record button. Yeah.
And it starts recording what my iPad sees.
What?
So you could actually have this. Yes. You could actually, what you would want to do is reverse it. You want to use
the better camera on the iPhone.
Yeah, on the iPhones. Yeah. And then the bigger screen on your iPad.
Oh, that's cool because then your iPad is a great viewfinder.
Absolutely.
So you'd be shooting like this or even put this on a tripod.
A tripod.
Put it under the waterfall and then you're sitting out here dry watching this on your iPad. Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's really
neat. So that's Filmic and Filmic Pro together as one little shout out for a way that you can shoot video. And then I want to give a shout out to
Does that use Wi-Fi? It must use Wi-Fi.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it uses a local Wi-Fi pairing. My favorite application for making footage, for editing footage, excuse me, which is... Dun, da, da, da. Sorry, I'm going to get used to
how do you spell dun-da-da-da? That's like a find in the app store.
You know, it's dun-da-da-da. Da, da. So this is Adobe Premiere Rush.
Oh, yeah. Now, one thing to understand about Rush, and this is because it's from Adobe, and they're all about the cloud, right? The Creative Cloud.
Yes.
One of the problems we've been having, we actually had to edit a little bit out of this, a chunk out of this show, because... it is trying to upload all the assets to the Creative Cloud. So it's kind of it's really kind of hybrid cloud desktop editing.
Yeah. So Adobe Sensei is this really popular, they love to talk about it over at Adobe Sensei. And it is their sort of online AI machine learning platform for doing all sorts of stuff. And many of their new applications, like Adobe Rush, have Adobe Sensei built in, and it provides the sort of infrastructure for quickly transcoding video, for making it so that you can edit quickly on mobile devices and then pull that footage into desktop devices.
But all of that requires that they upload all your video first. So that's what's going on. Yeah.
And you can do some while it's uploading. It can be processed online and then can be what am I trying to say? It'll be uploaded while you're going. So it does some stuff locally, some stuff in the cloud. But in order to get that footage out and to crunch it down into what makes sense, then that can take some time. So I wanted to talk about this here because this is some footage, and I'll talk about the situation here in a second. But this is some footage that I had opened up on my MacBook Pro first, my 2015 MacBook Pro with the discrete GPU. And
is that a baby seal? Where are you?
That is a baby seal. And so I'll talk about that in just a second. But nice. I opened this up on my 2015 MacBook Pro with the discrete GPU, and it still, it was, you know, brought up the fan on the MacBook Pro. It was having trouble crunching through the footage. It was struggling. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to pull this up in Adobe Rush on my iPad Pro so that I can do the quick edits that I wanted to do, because I just wanted to add a fade to the beginning and the end, and that was it, and crop it down some. And I was able to open that up on the iPad Pro, do that in mere seconds without any lag, and export it no problem, so much quicker than I was able to do using the desktop versions, Final Cut Pro and things like that. So it really, I mean, these iPad Pros have so much power in them, and to make use of them is really great. So I want to talk about this baby seal. This was before the parks had closed down. I went to one of the tide pool beaches in Northern California, and keeping my distance from other people, I was with my little group of people who I share space with, and we were out, you know, walking around, getting some air and stuff like that. And we were going through this tide pool area, and I happened to look down.
Wow. Cool.
And I saw this baby arbor seal. Now, here's the thing. This is early days for a baby arbor seal to be around. They usually aren't birthed until later into the summer. So that was the first odd thing. Secondly, do you see the wrinkles on the baby arbor seal?
Yeah, it's like a Shar-Pei arbor seal.
Exactly. So they're actually supposed to be just a big old chunk. They aren't supposed to have those wrinkles.
Oh.
That means that that means the little baby arbor seal is actually malnourished.
Oh.
So the baby arbor seal was sort of up against some rocks in the tide pool area, and was oh my goodness, just the most sweet, most innocent creature I've ever seen in my life. You look that creature in the eyes, and I'm pretty far away, by the way, because
but you zoomed quickly in nicely. Is this your iPhone?
Yeah, this is the iPhone. Wow. Check that zoom. So I wanted to mention, you know, we immediately looked up what we could about baby arbor seals, and Mama does.
Is it arbor or harbor?
I guess it's harbor, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought you were just being Cockney.
Oh, that's what it was. We'll just go with that because I, for some reason, was saying arbor instead of harbor.
Those are the seals that you see if you go down to San Francisco. If you go to Pier 39, they're all over the docks and wharves and that you can't get rid of them, but they are very sweet. They're actually sea lions, I think, aren't they? Or are they seals? I think they're sea lions.
I don't know the difference between the two. No. But anyway, point is, this baby harbor seal was out of place, was not supposed to be where it was.
It's a real seal.
And we called Marine Mammal Rescue.
Good.
They came out. Good. That's where I actually learned about the fact that the baby was not supposed to be wrinkly like this.
Yeah.
So we ended up rescuing this little baby seal.
Aren't you the best person?
It felt really nice. It was in the midst of all the negativity and sadness.
Did they send him over to Joe Exotic for?
Oh my God!
For a zoo?
No. A better place.
A much better place.
Specific for marine mammals. But oh my goodness, those little eyes! I can't.
They're so beautiful.
The most innocent face I've ever seen in my entire life. Anyway. That's Adobe Premiere Rush. And like I said, it's very easy. I can drag I can tap and drag to quickly edit.
So you see, this is that timeline editing I was talking about with iMovie. And once you learn it with one program, They're all pretty much the same. It's very easy to see how you drag transitions down and clips down and so forth.
Cross dissolves.
Yeah.
And ramp ups, you know, speed, you reverse it, et cetera. Crop
do you think,
it. To
now, you've done real editing with Final Cut and stuff like that. Do you think Rush, where does Rush sit in that kind of continuum between, say, iMovie and Final Cut?
In the perfect place. It is it is right there in between where somebody can, I think, pick it up pretty easily. But by learning Rush, you're taking the first steps to learning those more powerful platforms. So it's almost worth learning it just for that if you don't. But for someone like me coming from Final Cut and coming from Adobe Premiere, those Audition, frankly, this is right up my alley in terms of what I'm used to. So it is very easy to quickly grasp the concepts here, the things that Adobe's done to make it simpler, the things that Adobe has not done so that it works for people who are more professional, who have professional video editing backgrounds. It's right in that sweet spot. So I think anybody can pick it up. And by picking it up, by taking that time to adapt to the learning curve, you are also going to be sort of preparing yourself if you wanted to jump into something like Final Cut Pro or Premiere to understand those as well.
Yeah. So that's even true with iMovie. You're learning kind of fundamentals that really will translate pretty well. You know, what happens, you get a lot more features, and that's where it can be overwhelming. But the idea of timeline editing is pretty common among all those programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's nice. And Rush is free still?
You have to have an Adobe ID. And they, in fact, also offer Apple ID sign-in, which is kind of cool.
So unlike Adobe's other Creative Cloud programs, you don't have to have a subscription to use it.
Yeah, so that's nice. Pretty nice there. That's all I've got for video editing.
That's plenty.
There are loads of apps out there, but I think there are so many gimmicky apps out there, Leo, that I don't even want to, you know, recommend people check out, because I think when you get down to it, your best bet is to sort of create from the ground up, and you start with good footage and you take that footage and you drop it into an editor, you put it together and you make something great, as opposed to adding filters and dancing leprechauns in 3D space and all the other stuff that some of these other apps do. I think that your best bet is to just shoot, cut, publish, and you get great footage that way.
Yeah, and speaking of gimmicky apps, I'm going to show briefly one that is exactly that, and this is called MuseMage, and this is another one of those video editors. This is not a timeline editor, and that's why I think I agree with you. You should learn Rush or one of the this is a train journey that we took. Let me just add a few videos to that. I'll just add, for completely no reason at all, I'll add Michael flame broiling something. Sort of like a timeline. I mean, there's the timeline down here. Here's the three clips. Because it's MuseMage is cool because it's supposed to automate a lot of this, and it has a lot of filters, so that's kind of neat. So I think it's really designed for the Instagram crowd, so that because they understand filters. And then you have music. It's very easy to add music from your own library or from some they have already. I'll try Do It Right. Let me put this on the I think it's sideways is the only. I really hate these apps. I guess the point is that they're designed for iPhone. Why don't they take the time, if you ask me?
Do it right for the iPad?
Yeah, to do it right. Okay, so I've added some music, probably too much music. I can add, there's a few other features. There's this magic brush that lets me pop. No, maybe not.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this would be, MuseMage is interesting if you really want to kind of mess with it. And you could export it out, so that's a nice feature. You can export it out and it could then be edited in another program. So it's probably worth having MuseMage just to play with it. And one of their features is kind of this, again, this automated. A lot of these guys do this where they're automating your editing to make it easy for you. So I just want to honorable mention to MuseMage. LumaFusion is also a very good video editor from the folks that do some of the other. They do that great Luminar
Yeah, it's the closest thing to, I think, this is like a pro experience.
Yeah, see that? Look at that. I mean, that really, if you have used Final Cut, you go, oh, yeah, I recognize that. So this might be something worth kind of knowing about. It's not expensive. None of these are expensive. Knowing about...
$30 for LumaFusion.
How much? $30?
$30 for LumaFusion. Yeah. So see, that's not bad. It's pro-priced.
Yeah,
no,
but
it's
still
not bad at all, yeah. Especially in comparison to
there's Avid is available too. This is Video Leap. Create amazing videos on the go. These are, you know, the whole idea of these, everybody's trying to, you know, because iMovie exists, everybody's trying to find a niche that's a little different, right? A little something mm-hmm. else. Now, this, unfortunately, I don't like the programs that ask for a subscription. It's not hugely expensive.
Yeah, especially immediately.
Right. Right. Well, you can do the trial. $70 for one-time purchase, $8 a month. If you buy a year, $35.99 a year. That's the best deal. That's $3 a month. So I can do 3 days free with the yearly pro subscription. Just make sure you unsubscribe, but it's worth spending a little time just to see if this has features that you want. You can see all of these. The reason it costs money is they have a lot of built-in. I'm not going to give you money. No. Already did it once, not going to do it again. That's Video Leap Pro. So there are a lot of other choices. You see, I do have Quick. I was very impressed in Filmic Pro and Rush as well. So we agree on the programs that are worth having.
Yes.
Worth maybe considering LumaFusion, very powerful, and then Video Leap and Muse Mage for the kind of more automated setup. There's a lot
I was curious, given the price of LumaFusion, why it had in-app purchases, and I just checked, and that's because you can pay for a Storyblocks subscription.
Oh, so
that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It comes with stock footage subscription, $9.99 a month for royalty-free video, music, and sound effects built into the app.
If you're trying to make more than just a travelogue, if you're trying to make a movie,
right,
having a clip, you know, of a... the skyline of New York, you know, at sunset that you can add to your video, to your movie, is very handy. So some people will want that. I think the real point here, the real takeaway here is there are now pro-level apps available. There's apps for all different levels on the iPad. And I just feel like that there were only a few gaps missing that would make the iPad a competent replacement, say, for a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro. Video editing was one of them. I'm still waiting for some better coding apps. I'd love to see Apple port Xcode so we can develop apps over to the iOS platform. That may not happen. They may say, no, you should have a laptop for that. But when this new keyboard comes out, the trackpad support, boy, I think we're getting really close to this being the kind of thing you'd take on the road, do your photo editing, your video editing, all your content creation on this. I think it's getting there. I really do.
Yeah. In fact, I was just going to say, having this 12.9-inch iPad Pro and not having a keyboard for it really makes this a difficult device to use.
It's
I'm
so big. Yeah.
Happy to have my 11-inch with the keyboard versus this one, which is without that keyboard there. It does just feel like a big old slab that you have to carry around with you.
Yeah.
So I really think it's worth, even if you don't go for the expensive trackpad keyboard that's out in May, going for the one that is available now is well worth it if you go for the iPad Pro model.
We should mention that there will be a review on Hands on Tech, if that might even already be out. It's already out of the iPad Pro 2020, the one that just came out, Micah. I was very generous.
Yes, very generous.
I was very generous. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to do, but I have to tell you, I knew that Micah preferred the 11-inch. So I figured I'll let him play with a 12.9-inch. But I don't think he'll keep it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going back to you. That's for sure.
We'll get you an 11-inch. And, you know, we definitely, both of us are going to get that new keyboard, the Magic Keyboard, when it comes out. Because I honestly am very intrigued by the notion of the iPad being your computer, your full-time, take-it-with-you-everywhere laptop. A computer, as Apple says, that's not a computer. Our show today brought to you by LastPass from our beautiful LastPass studios here in beautiful East Side Petaluma. See that? There, says it right there. The LastPass studios. We love LastPass. I've been using LastPass for 10 years, I think, since it first came out. It was cool when we went to the RSA party that LastPass threw last month. I met the niece of Joe Segrist, the guy who invented LastPass, and his partner in the early days, both of them still with LastPass, still making the best product ever for password management and authentication. As you're preparing to go remote and your workforce is going remote, working from home, you've got to, as I think I don't have to tell you, you've got to keep security high, because we're already seeing lots of phishing and spear phishing emails related to coronavirus. This, it's sad to say, but the bad guys leap into action when disasters happen. And we're in the middle of a big disaster right now. So if you're transitioning from to a full work from home environment, you got to check out LastPass. It will really help you make the transition easier without decreasing security. And I'll talk about a couple of things. LastPass reduces the risk of phishing schemes because it won't autofill passwords on suspicious sites. And your employees, if you don't want them to, will not ever get the password. They won't be able to give it to somebody. Hey, it's the boss. I forgot my password. What is it? They're not going to fall for that. They can't. They don't have access to it. Accessing your corporate VPN, if you've got people logging in, LastPass will add an additional layer of security to getting into that VPN through biometric multi-factor authentication, Face ID, Touch ID, fingerprint readers, and multi-factor authentication that uses geolocation and IP addresses and other factors to really make sure it's your employee accessing your VPN, not somebody pretending to be. Regardless of where or how your employees need access, LastPass ensures they have secure access to the applications they need with single sign-on, SSO. I love SSO. It eliminates passwords entirely. I think it's fantastic. It pops up a notification on their phone. Is this you? Yes. And by the way, all the big boys, Google and Microsoft, they're all moving to SSO. LastPass has 1,200 plus SSO applications now built in. Makes it very easy. Of course, the best-in-class password management that LastPass has always been famous for. And I want you to know that they have offline mode for both password management and multi-factor authentication. So even if your employees are somewhere where they can't get online, they can still log into those apps. They can still get work done, and that's a big deal. As you can see, with all of us getting online, sometimes internet access is spotty. So it's great to have LastPass along for the ride. Also, very great, very easy for collaborating. If you're all working in the same office, it's easy to go down the hall and say, hey, what's the password to the Wi-Fi in the kitchen? But if you're at home, you can't do that. But password sharing makes it easy because you can create folders that you drag the passwords into, or when you create the password, you say it goes in this folder. So all of our ops people, our engineers, the business office, the bookkeeping, they all have their own private folders where they can keep shared passwords. And of course, it's very easy to share passwords. That's why I use LastPass at home, because I'm always sharing passwords with Lisa. She needs access to the Comcast account, or she needs access to the electric bill and that kind of thing. And it's easy for me when I create a new account to make sure that Lisa automatically gets that password as well. Seamless collaboration, seamless sharing, very important. And it's also easy to use, but not only for your employees, and that's important. If security is not convenient, they won't do it. So it makes it easier for your employees with autofill and single sign-on, but it's also easy for you to administer it, for your IT team to maintain complete control over what of your resources employees are accessing, even when they're at home. You get unified visibility on access and authentication across the whole enterprise. I know you're using LastPass at home, and if you're not, get on it, but you should really use LastPass at work too. LastPass Enterprise is the solution. Increased security does not have to be complex. LastPass makes it easy. Start your journey today by visiting LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. We're big fans. LastPass.com/twit. And honestly, these days, everybody needs to be using LastPass. LastPass.com/twit. Thank you, LastPass, for securing our enterprise and for supporting our show, because we couldn't do it without you. And thank you for supporting our show by going to LastPass.com/twit. Micah's working out of the house. I don't know if you're watching the video, you realize something's a little different. Micah's at his house. I'm in the studio, but I'm alone in the studio with John. There's no one else here. We're doing the social distancing. And the only reason I felt like, well, I can come in and use the studio is because, A, it's locked. It's sterile. Nobody can come in here. I'm the only one using it. So it's as safe. In fact, it's safer than my home. And by doing it here and doing all the switching, and I apologize because it's a little rougher because of that, but this way Kevin King can stay home too. We want as many people as possible to be able to work from home. Our editors even are working from home. Our hosts are working from home. And I'm coming in, but I'm coming in an environment that's much safer because nobody else is here. So thank you for bearing with us. And I hope you're doing the same social distancing. We're starting to see evidence it really works. It's very, very important. So let's move on to the news across the nation.
It's time
Mike
for the news across the nation.
The information.
Yeah. So this is one of the first stories. And in fact, Leo, you had shared this in your little link
page. I thought this was
page. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Gurman published an article in Bloomberg, as is his way. This one's titled, Apple Tests Its Secrecy Somewhere New, Employee Homes. Yes. Of course, we have many employees working from home, and with that comes also Apple's employees working from home. And given Apple's sort of commitment to secrecy, there's a bit of a struggle when it comes to the way that the company has run its whole system in the past versus how it's having to now. Apple is kind of known as one of the companies that doesn't offer as many work from home options as some others. And so it's interesting now in this time where folks have to work from home, seeing how the company's handling that secrecy.
We've talked about this before because, you know, they don't want people logging into the campus from remotely in many cases. And how do you work on the next generation iPhone design? You can't take it home. Apple's letting them take it home. But I imagine that the security guys are being very careful. What do you bet? I bet they get a lockbox with a device.
Oh, I'm
in
sure.
It, right?
And there's probably a lockbox, and there's trackers on everything. And
I bet
they probably have to hand over their blood sample. Who knows what all?
They are very security focused. And after that iPhone got left in a bar some years ago, was that the iPhone 5, iPhone 4? I think it was a 5.
4? Okay.
It was a long time ago. Apple's been even more paranoid, as they should be. Hey, big story just broke, and I'm going to pass it along. I know you'll be interested in this. For a long time, I've been putting Apple Weather in my special Don't Use folder and using a program called Dark Sky. Apple has just acquired them.
What?
That's a big scoop,
Apple
isn't it?
Apple bought Dark Sky?
Yep. Dark Sky announced
is the backbone to so many different applications. It's the weather service for so many different weather apps on the App Store.
Well, and you know who's going to be really disappointed is Android users, because in the blog post, Dark Sky said, and bye-bye to Android. No more Android apps for Dark Sky.
What?
So that is a little disheartening. Let me pull up the blog post.
Yeah.
So we can look at it together. Dark Sky has a new home. Now, tomorrow is April Fool's Day. But this is not April Fool's Day. This is March 31st, so I'm going to believe this. You know, tomorrow we won't be able to believe anything we read. Today we have some important and exciting news to share. Dark Sky has joined Apple. What happens to our existing products? There will be no changes to Dark Sky for iOS at this time. Now, Apple's history with this is to typically take over the app and eliminate it, incorporate that into Apple Weather. I would guess that's what they'll do since they have a weather app. As for Android and Wear OS, the app will no longer be available for download. Service to existing users and subscribers will continue until July 1st, at which point it will be shut down. Subscribers who are still active at that time will receive a refund. The website,
it's the API thing that's really concerning.
And that will continue to function, but only through the end of the 2021. So the website will continue until July 1st, but it will not be something you can go to. I often go to darksky.net. Remember, they bought, who did they buy? Another weather forecasting app, and I've forgotten the name of it, and transitioned to Dark Sky. The API I use all the time on Linux, because that's I use Dark Sky's weather forecasts on my Linux. That will continue through 2021, but they will be no longer accepting new signups.
I think Carrot Weather uses Dark Sky.
It might well. It is, in fact, you know, the kind of the king of the weather apps. And I think this is a bit of a shocker. I'm a little bit
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
About all the different.
I mean, Apple bought a quality product. There is no better weather program, I think, than Dark Sky. But
So currently, I'm in. Well, let me see. I can show you. I'm in Carrot Weather, and I'm currently using Dark Sky as my data source for Carrot Weather.
Yeah.
Luckily, there are some others, but none of them have that very hyper local. Weather stuff that Dark Sky does.
Yeah. So there's Open Weather Map. There are other open sources of weather, not as good. I use the Norwegian weather service. That actually is pretty good. You would think
for
our
the
national.
US?
Well, yeah, for the U.S., it's global. You would think our national weather service would be good. But, you know, there's a bit of a scandal there as well. I don't know. I saw a 60 Minutes piece on it. Apparently, a commercial entity, weather.com, has kind of started to take over the National Weather Service. All the weather forecasts come from the federal National Weather Service. All the U.S. weather forecasts do. And they just put their spin on it, including Dark Sky. But you're right. Dark Sky has something that not everybody else has, which is these local weather stations and so forth. So, yeah, this is a bit of a shock. And, for Android folks, especially, a bit of a disappointment.
Wowzy, wowzy.
Yep.
Huh.
Apple has the money to throw around, and if they want something, I'm pretty hard to turn them down. I don't. It doesn't say what the price was, but.
Yikes! So, as one might expect, video conferencing apps are really seeing huge downloads right now.
What did Microsoft say? 221% increase. Or was it Microsoft?
To Skype?
To Teams.
Oh, to Teams.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's more than video. What people want is a full, you know, work solution. So it's video sharing,
gotcha.
Conferencing, and Teams is apparently the... Zoom, of course, is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom.
Yeah, and...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we can keep talking about this, but I have an aside for Zoom. So... we'll get to it in a second. But
I'm sorry.
Zoom.
Microsoft says there's been a 775% increase in the use of its cloud services. But that's in particular in places where social distancing is in effect.
Oh, you know what's annoying? As is its way, Facebook, and it's not Facebook, it's people on Facebook, have started to put out this as sorry, I get really frustrated because people always do this. They want to create a post that's going to get a ton of shares and put it out there to the world, and it's a bunch of fake information. There's a post or a series of posts going around on Facebook warning people that if they use House Party, then it's going to result in them getting their iPads and iPhones and things hacked by using House Party.
Not true, right? Not true.
No, not true.
In fact... video conferencing apps on the App Store, according to App Annie, had 62 million downloads during the week of March 14th. 62 million. And House Party is one of the big gainers on this one. You recommended it. I think everybody's using House Party.
Yeah.
It's a great way.
In fact, I've
way.
Seen some of my old family friends have been getting on it because I had to turn off notifications for the app because it would tell me every time somebody that I knew was... excuse me, getting on the service.
Oh, that's funny.
It's very popular, and we just played it the other day, continue to play it, and I finally did the avocado game that we had talked about on the show, and it was quite fun, actually. The trivia is the best thing.
I got an email from one of our viewers who said her husband listens all the time, but lately she started to listen, and she was thanking us for House Party, and she sent me a video or a screenshot of her and her entire family playing, I don't know if the avocado game or it might have been Heads Up, but all playing a game, and it looks so sweet. She said, thank you, because House Party has been a real hit with our family and a way for us to stay in touch. So
that makes
nice.
Me so happy.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Yeah.
Yeah, and so just with the things, if you see that on Facebook,
It's
just
okay.
Understand that the app itself is not going to do that. The way that that would have to happen is someone you don't know hopping into your house party call, getting you to download some. It would be very difficult to make that happen.
Can you make your house party call private or password only? You can, and you probably
you can
should
make it private. And that's what I've done because I'm you know not trying to be braggadocious, but if I do not have a private room, then the moment I hop on house party, someone's trying to hop in on a call with me whenever I'm just trying to do one with, you know, specific people. So at the bottom, and let me just actually, I'll launch house party here so I can show you how that works. At the bottom of house party is a, whoops, I hit the wrong thing here. The bottom of house party is a little lock button. Mm-hmm. And so you just hit that lock so that it actually has the lock put down, you know, the padlock is locked. And then you go up to the top right where you can see the lock icon and you can choose the friends that you want to add. So you can bring in just those friends to your house party room. Otherwise, if you have it unlocked, then anyone can jump into your house party call, but it's only people that you're friends with. So again, it's not as if you're public. It's just anyone who has your contact information that you have added as a friend can hop in on that call. And join you. So
that's a good idea to turn that on. And you may remember the Zoom bombing issue that a lot of people were suffering from, of people coming in and showing pornography or whatever on Zoom. Same thing. It's just that the default is not that it's private. But before you set up a Zoom meeting, you might want to go in and look at the settings and especially say, don't let other people join my conference unless I invite them, because that's the recipe for disaster. Zoom has been getting a lot of heat lately about its privacy policy. And you, I know, want to talk a little bit about the fact that they were on the iOS app sending data back to Facebook, even if you didn't have a Facebook account. They fixed that though, right?
So that's been fixed. But what is not fixed and what is a little bit troublesome is that while the webs, if you go to Zoom's website and you do a call, there's the little padlock icon showing that the connection is encrypted.
Yeah.
But Zoom meetings are not end-to-end encrypted. This is according to The Intercept, which has done sort of a deep dive into the service. So it says, this is a quote from the article, Zoom is using its own definition of the term, one that lets Zoom itself access unencrypted video and audio from meetings.
Yeah, and then there's the assertion, Doc Searls and others have said that they're, according to their license agreement, their terms of service, they may be using that information, stuff they glean from your private conferences, to sell to advertising companies. So maybe Zoom isn't the most privacy focused one. At the end of the show, my AppCap is one that I think is safe, easy to use, and truly end-to-end encrypted. So I'll show you that at the end of the show. There are alternatives. On the other hand, we're still using Zoom, and I know a lot of people are, just in fact, including Joe Biden, who's running for president, had a terrible Zoom call. a lot of people are using it just because it's kind of the best known brand name. And honestly, most of the time, I don't think privacy is an issue. You probably wouldn't want to use Zoom if you're talking to your psychotherapist or psychiatrist or your physician. You know, there are other times when you might say, I really want this to be private. Maybe you're talking to your honey over Zoom, and maybe you don't want Zoom to have access to that video. So we'll show you some alternatives. But I think for standard business conferences, we use it all the time. We have a Zoom account. And the reason people use it is everybody knows it. So it's
exactly
easy. You know, everybody. Now, remember, Zoom got a little heat on the Macintosh because they were installing a web server on the Macintosh. And when you uninstalled Zoom, not removing it.
Yeah, it stayed around. And they did that for that specific reason. They did it so that if you uninstalled and later wanted to reinstall
Zoom,
it would be easier.
Yeah.
Don't make those decisions for me. Thank you very much.
I think they've changed that behavior. But it's just a kind of an ongoing problem with Zoom. And I honestly think it's because they are not really intended for consumers. And so they were thinking about the business audience. And one of the things they wanted Zoom to do is you click a link that you get in an email or a calendar invitation, and it just launches. You don't have to think about it and download it and all that stuff.
Yeah, type in some code somewhere and then a PIN.
And to do that, they needed to leave a little stub running in the background. They've, I believe, stopped doing that. But that you see that this is this ongoing problem with Zoom. I'll show you a program that doesn't do any of that. Is in my opinion, as easy to use as Zoom, as my app cap a little later on in the show.
Excellent.
Any other news before we move on? Yeah.
Just a couple things here. So one, on Tech News Weekly episode 126, both Jason Howell and I spoke with Zach Renaud-Wedin. He is the product manager of Google, product manager and founder of Google Podcasts. Google Podcasts just went through a redesign. There are new discovery features in the app. There's some things that the app has not had in the past that many other podcast players do have.
You interviewed the guy who was the product manager or invented it or...
Yeah, the founder and product manager of Google Podcasts.
What does that mean if you're a founder of a Google app?
That part did confuse me as well. And in fact, in every place, he just is listed as the product manager of Google Podcasts. But Zach Renaud-Wedin, and it has launched on iOS. So I think Leo's shown it off there.
Yeah. I like it a lot. You know, you didn't used to be able to download files, but it does now. I still am going to stick probably with Pocket Cast, or if you don't need video, Overcast. Those are both really excellent solutions. But if you're all in the Google world, this is nice. And it, one of the nice things it does automatically, because you're logged into your Google account on your iPhone, is it'll save your subscriptions, and they'll be available no matter where you install Google Podcasts. So that's kind of nice.
And it syncs playback now. But the big thing, and the thing that Renaud-Wedin was kind of talking about in our interview with him, was that it's all about discovery. And so it takes your listening behavior and the shows to which you are subscribed and uses that information to inform what podcast episodes, not just podcasts in general, but podcast episodes you might want to check out. And I quite like that, because there are lots of different apps that can tell you, oh, you might like this podcast because other people like this podcast, right, who listen to podcasts you listen to. But to actually get down to the episode recommendations is pretty neat. So I'm looking, that's why I'm a Pocket Cast user as well, but I have this because I'm curious about its recommendation engine. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, yeah, it does not do video.
It does not recommend us.
Well, it was doing that for me, though.
You would think the first person they'd recommend Twit to would be me, but okay. Popular and trending. But that's all right. You know, I can understand that. Top podcasts and comedy. Yeah, it's not everybody's looking for something to listen to these days. You should subscribe to all of our shows, of course, and you can do that in this if you search for you can search for iOS Today, but if you search for the podcast network This Week in Tech or Twit, you can subscribe to all of our shows. In fact, there's even one feed that's everything. So that's nice that that's there.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then I know that you'll be talking to him on Mac Break Weekly, but I did want to, given that this is the iOS Today show.
And he's your former boss.
No, that's not why. It's because this is the iOS Today show.
And we love him.
And we love him, but also because it's iMore, one of the sites that we use on the regular as a source for news. iMore's Renee Ritchie is officially going indie. There's a little tweet out kind of talking about what he's doing next. So he's got a YouTube channel and all that jazz. And
he said he'll still be contributing to iMore. He left on good terms. But this has been in the works for a while. We called him yesterday to congratulate him because he's he's going indie, and that's always challenging. He said, but I'm ready to do it. He lives in a country where they have medical care, so he's got health insurance, and he also said, I'm debt free. I own my own house, so I think it's a good time to take a chance. I think it's basically he wants to be a YouTuber, right?
Yeah, that's where he's
tough. It's hard.
But he built up that Vector show, so I think he'll do it again with this.
I think he already has a lot of subscribers. Does his channel have a name?
I think it's just let me make sure, because I subscribed to it.
I did too, of course.
Let's see. If you do youtube.com/, I'm testing it, and now it's not loading. Yeah, youtube.com/ Renee Ritchie.
Oh, good. RITCHIE.
There you go.
That's awesome. And he did do a farewell My Last Vector podcast worth watching. And then we will, by the way, be talking to Renee in just a little bit on Mac Break Weekly. So yeah. I like his first video on Vector was, "Can you trust Renee Ritchie?" Yes, you can. I'm glad he's got his own channel now. That's really fantastic. And I imagine he'll continue to do Apple coverage, but I wonder if he'll do more than just Apple coverage.
Yeah. So in his first video on YouTube.com/Renee Ritchie, he mentions that he's going outside of Apple. He's going to be doing general tech as well. So that's interesting.
Oh, good.
That's something I don't think we've seen a whole lot from him before. So no, that'll be fun.
That's great. There it is. There's his. And by the way, some familiar faces on that first video. There's Marques Brownlee, some other people familiar. He's got pretty much the entire podcast universe on his first video, so it's kind of fun to see if you can identify
Dave
everybody.
Dave Wiskus. Yeah, I think Justine's really on there.
Yeah, Justine's at the end. Yeah, there she is. So yeah. Well done, Renee. We're really happy for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. Before we talk about Mint Mobile, just the last thing. Folks out there who love and play Pokemon Go, Lisa Laporte, you will be happy to know, if you don't already know, but you probably already know because the diehards already know this, Pokemon Go has an at-home raid battle setting.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, you don't have to be out and about now to do your raid battles, whatever those are.
Okay.
So now you can play some of these things from home.
I'm going to sign in right now to my Pokemon Go account.
Track your steps indoor with Adventure Sync, so activities like cleaning your house and running on a treadmill will count toward game achievements.
So this is the new shelter-in-place version of Pokemon Go. I walked a whole 1.3 kilometers this week. That's pretty much getting up, going to the TV, changing the channel, and sitting back down.
Where's your remote?
Oh, yeah, remotes. It's somewhere in the couch cushions. I can never find it. Let me just look and see where these settings are, because so we can now turn on Adventure Sync. No wonder it doesn't know that I walked anywhere. Adventure Sync wasn't turned on. All right. Well, I don't see the setting, but maybe that's coming.
I think that's the one. Adventure Sync.
No, Adventure Sync's for walking, but where's the one about having battles at the house?
Oh, let's see.
There it is. Allow battle challenges with friends. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, wait. Also, Harry Potter Wizards Unite is getting an update too. We've increased the amount of content that's near you on the map, so players should see spell energy, more iconic Harry Potter content, and other things closer as well. So Niantic? Niantic as a whole has updated their different services to provide for a better experience while you're at home staying safe, because I don't think they want to be responsible for having people going out. And
that was one of the things that made Pokemon Go so great and Wizards United's successor so great, was it got people out of the house, seeing other people walking around, billions of miles walked over the 4 years since Pokemon Go came out. A lot of weight loss, I think. They did a lot of good for the health of their players. But these days, maybe we want to stay indoors a little bit. So,
Yeah.
So I went out. I went out to the park yesterday with Lisa and our son, because you can't stay in the house all the time. And it's interesting because here in Petaluma, they now have the police patrolling to keep people inside.
Wow.
I always thought, well, the park's safe, right? But they've actually boarded up the park now.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of the parks are closed per our governor's order.
Yeah. I think they don't want you on the playground equipment.
I think many national parks are closed too, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a tough time we're going through right now, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it through. I wanted to show you, I guess it's not in my photos yet, the picture of the swings with police line, do not cross tape across them.
Oh my goodness. That's wow. You walk outside and see that and suddenly you are in a post-apocalyptic.
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah.
Exactly.
I guess
walk right back inside.
Yeah. I can show you on the thing, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they didn't want anybody to play on the swings. No playing on the swings. No going down the slide. Although I thought this was interesting. They put the police tape at the top so it would actually clothesline you as you came down the slide. So I think that's a little punitive. I think they should put it a little lower, but then you wouldn't be able to get out of the slide. So maybe they decided, I don't know what they thought. Duck.
Oh my gosh. Duck, goose. All right. Let's talk about the fox.
The fox, of course, we're talking about Mint Mobile. We love the fox. Who doesn't love the fox? Mint Mobile provides exactly the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the price. You're paying too much right now. It's 2020. Network coverage is better than ever, no matter who your wireless provider is. So why are you paying more when Mint Mobile can cut your bill down to, hold on to your hats, I hope you're sitting down, $15 a month.
What?
For the same premium coverage. That's for their three-month introductory plan. I know you're thinking, this is too good to be true. But these guys know what they're doing. They've eliminated retail stores. They've made it virtual. They've made it easy for you to sign up. They'll even send you the SIM at no charge. You put it in your existing phone. You could port your numbers over, and suddenly you've taken your cell phone bill from $80, $90 a month down to $15. Mint Mobile has reimagined the wireless industry. Every plan comes with, I know you're saying, oh, but I'm going to pay for calls. No, unlimited nationwide talk, unlimited text, plus crazy fast 4G LTE. They're on the T-Mobile network. They resell T-Mobile. So if you have good T-Mobile service where you are, and almost everybody does, you're going to get great Mint Mobile service as well. And if there's, you know, get it. If you're not 100% satisfied, you have a 7-day money-back guarantee. So get it, bring it to work, bring it home, wherever you need it. And right now, by the way, because of COVID-19, Mint Mobile is providing all current and new customers, that could be you, with free, unlimited high-speed data add-ons. Now, I decided after I tried the $15 a month plan, I said, I like this so much, I went for the year plan, $300, 12 gigabytes a month, unlimited text, unlimited talk nationwide, for $300 a year. That's $25 a month I'm paying for my cell phone. Wow. And I never used more than 12 gigabytes. That's a great deal. Micah put it in his iPad. You can use it for data in your iPad, too. It's a really, I don't think there is a better deal for data than Mint Mobile. Go to mintmobile.com/iOS and cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan. And get the plan shipped to your door free at mintmobile.com/iOS. You be the judge. I think you'll love it. mintmobile.com/iOS. Now that we're all spending a lot more time, having that extra bandwidth is really nice of them to do. mintmobile.com/iOS. Micah?
Yes, it's time for some feedback.
Questions and answers.
Questions and answers. So this first one comes from John in Crystal, Minnesota. I have a 6th generation iPad that I recently updated to iOS 13.4. I saw the news that this update allowed for official mouse/trackpad support, so I bought a cheap Bluetooth mouse on Amazon. When I pair the mouse to my iPad, the trackpad and mouse section doesn't appear in the settings.
Oh.
I can still use the scroll wheel and click the left and right buttons, but I'm unable to configure the center click to bring me home unless I set it up in Assistive Touch, which has the side effect of the floating menu across apps.
Yeah.
That's, I'm trying to unlock my iPad here. Do you have any suggestions? If it's the cheap mouse, I'm willing to spend a little extra, but I don't want to keep guessing at what might be or might not be fully compatible. So yes, I do have a suggestion for you, and I'm going to show you. So I'm currently using a trackpad to control my iPad. And as he was mentioning, the only way to set up the shortcuts for Assistive Touch, or only way to set up a shortcut for your mouse or your trackpad is in the Assistive Touch menu. And he wanted to be able to not have this little button thingy right here.
Ick.
I've got some magic for you.
Yeah.
When you set up a pointer device, you see that there's the option, like this trackpad that I have here, to customize additional buttons, which this trackpad does not have. But on this main screen here, the 4th setting, always show menu. Click to turn that off.
And now you just get the little fingle disappears. Dot. Just the fingle
dot. You just
dot.
Get the little coisa.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. So
just turn that off in Assistive Touch.
Yeah, so go into, and yeah, let me show you how to get here just so you know. You launch the settings app, you go down to accessibility, you click, you tap touch, you choose assistive touch, you scroll down, and make sure that always show menu is toggled off.
Boy, that's buried.
And if you are using assistive touch with your, with just your fingers, then it will keep that menu turned on. But if you have a pointer device like a trackpad or a mouse connected, then it will turn that off. And yes, it is very buried. I'm hoping that they improve the controls in a later version of iOS, because right now it still feels, even though there's more support and things like that, it still feels like it's an extra feature that is not as easily accessible. So one hopes that will change in the future. But yeah, it's not your mouse. And it's just the fact that they have that kind of buried away in order to disable that little menu. So that's how you do it. Thanks for your question, John.
That's a great question. And I've been using the Magic Trackpad, so I haven't noticed any of those issues. But I don't have all the other capabilities. And I imagine that Apple, with its new trackpad, will probably have more built in. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah. I love it. I have to say, they've done a great job. This is going to be big.
It's slick. It's very slick.
Yeah.
Next is our final question for today is from Steve in Jersey. Steve says, recently on one of the home shopping networks, there's your first problem. No, I'm kidding. They were selling a MacBook Air, and in the demonstration, they showed how there was software bundled with the package that allowed you to mirror your iPhone screen on your Mac. Can you help? Is this something baked into macOS/iOS? I also don't know if this software allows you to actually control your iPhone from your Mac, or if it literally is only a screen mirroring function. Whew. So, Steve, first things first, it's very difficult, obviously, to tell what application they may have been using. There are different applications out there. However, as we talked about, I believe it was on the last episode of this show, QuickTime, which comes with every version of macOS. So if you hold down the command button on your keyboard and then tap the space bar, and then you open up Spotlight Search and you start to type in QuickTime, you can launch QuickTime Player on your Mac. From there, you can choose File and choose New Movie Recording. And then you can switch to the keyboard or the display of your iPhone or your iPad. Now, that is simply mirroring. I am unaware of any application that lets you mirror your full iPhone on your Mac and control it. However, and Leo, maybe you have one that you have.
Well, aren't you doing that with that eCam? I mean, isn't that what you're getting?
But I'm not controlling the iPad whenever I'm using it. So this is just the iPad is still separate. And what it sounds like Steve was wondering is if there's a software that lets him basically click on his Mac on the iPhone showing up on his Mac and then actually make that launch apps on his iPhone. The only other feature that I can think of that they may have been showing, and it would be specific to iPad, is what's called Sidecar.
Which love.
It's fantastic. It lets you essentially use your iPad as an external display for your MacBook Pro or MacBook Air in this case.
There, you know, for years, starting in 2007 when Steve Jobs first showed the iPhone, Apple made a hardware dongle that they plugged into the iPhone that let you show the iPhone screen and manipulating the iPhone screen. Obviously, they needed that for their demos. And for years, it was exclusive to Apple. Then for years, you had to do a jailbreak to the iPhone to turn on a God mode app that would let you then do that. I know Alex Lindsay used to do that because he always wanted to show the iPhone. It's a lot easier now than it was. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
And what you're doing with eCam is pretty amazing. And then you're also using AirPlay to play it to your big screen TV, to us. I'm doing that as well with AirPlay. So it's a lot easier than it used to be. Mm-hmm. But maybe that specific application is a little trickier. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to. I'm curious about that. The ability to control the phone from a different device is not something that
I'm
aware of.
It doesn't go that direction.
Yeah, exactly. Like.
Yeah.
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 But that's all we have for feedback this time. Feedback questions, et cetera.
Get your hat ready.
Oh, buddy.
You got to come over to the studio and borrow some hats.
Yeah,
I'll give you the key. I'll give you the key. You can come in.
I can leave your iPad, too.
Yeah, that's the real reason you got to go to the studio. I want my iPad. Our show today brought to you by Zapier. We use Zapier in show production. It's really awesome. Growing a business is hard. You don't want to be wasting time every day moving data from emails to spreadsheets to your CRM to wherever else you need it to go. It should just happen automatically. And this is the thought I have dozens of times a day. This is a computer. Shouldn't it be doing the work for me? Well, Zapier makes it possible. They have over 2,000 apps that they work with to automate your work. It is literally the easiest way to automate your work. You focus on what you're doing, the important stuff, the sales, really important these days, the shows. But you can use Zapier to connect all your business software so that you automatically engage leads, for instance, or import new customers, or notify your team about opportunities. I use Zapier whenever I see a story that we want to use on one of the shows. Zapier is working behind the scenes. All I have to do is favorite that story. Zapier automatically posts it to a special Twitter feed, links for Twit. It automatically adds it to my Pinboard bookmarks. It automatically adds it to a Google spreadsheet so that Carson can use it for building the rundowns. And that all happens behind the scenes. I don't even have to think about it with one click of the mouse. Zapier is more customizable. They support multi-step zaps. That was one zap that did all three of those things. That means you can go endless possibilities. And it's great for social posting. It's great for home automation because often you want to do more than one thing. You know, the sun goes down, my Hue lights go orange. That's one thing. But wouldn't you like to have more happen? The song play on the stereo, the garage door opens so that your wife can drive right in. I mean, there's the possibilities are endless. If you're interested in taking your automation further, Zapier has also created something brand new, and I was really excited. They launched this last month called Paths, which makes it even smarter. It's basically if this, then do that, but otherwise do this. You can have multiple paths. If A happens, you're in your first app, do this. But if B happens, do something else and so on, which makes it so flexible. Now, this is starting to sound more and more like programming, but that's the thing I love about Zapier. It is, but you don't have to see it that way. It's easy to use. You don't have to go get an engineer or a developer to get your computer to behave, to do the things you want to do. You can build a solution in minutes. Go to Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R, Zapier.com/iOS. Connect the apps you use the most and let Zapier take it from there. Every month I get an email saying how much time Zapier has spent me. And it always blows my mind. On average, there are 4.5 million people using Zapier. On average, we save 40 hours a month. That's a whole work week. A whole work week that I don't have to work, that Zapier's doing the work. You're going to love Zapier. Make more time to do the things you love. Make more time to grow your business. Make your house smarter. Make your everything smarter with Zapier. Right now, through the end of the month, you can try Zapier free. Go to Zapier, Zapier.com/iOS, and get a free 2-week trial. That's Zapier.com/iOS. I said through the end of the month. This is the end of the month. Let's extend that. Right now, through the end of April. How about that? Zapier.com/iOS. Zapier.com/iOS for your free 14-day trial. Thank you, Zapier. I'm such a Zapier fan. I've used it for years, and it really does help us get our job done. All right, I'm going to put a hat on. I want to see your hat. I think this goes with my outfit.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to show you how to pirate stuff today. And you look like you were in a giant orange, but no, it's a bonnet.
It's a bonnet.
I say, I'd let you make my sandwich today.
I do sleep in this sometimes when I'm doing a conditioning treatment for my hair. Yeah.
So it's your hair bonnet.
It is my hair bonnet.
It's quite cute.
Thank you.
Some people just wear a shower cap, but no, you've got to be a little fancier.
Yes. It's a silk bonnet. Specific to folks with mixed textured hair like I have.
Right.
My sister wears one too at times.
This is made for people like me.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Pirates who are low on vitamin C. No, you're not low on vitamin
no,
C.
No, no scurvy for me. In fact, I'm going to drink some grog laced with limes, and you do your app cap, your best
I think I'll
app
do
of the
me
week.
App cap. Arr. So, you may be familiar with the old moment lenses for iPhones.
Love those.
Yeah, so Moment is a company that makes these excellent lenses. There's all sorts of offerings, super wide angle, telephoto. I can't think of what the one is for video that is, oh man.
Anamorphic?
I can't think of the name. Anamorphic, thank you. Yes, that. They make a bunch of different very high quality premium lenses, but they also make an app. It's available for $5.99 in the App Store, and it's called Pro Camera by Moment. And I had forgotten that this app was out there and how powerful it is. So this is the camera here. And it has so many features available within the app. So it can shoot 4K. You can change it to 720. I mean, you can change all the settings right here. You can change the frames per second, so the frame rate changes. But it's got a bunch of different settings for ISO, for autofocus. There are different presets available. It's very simple to switch between wide angle, close up, and 1x as well. Adjustments to the flash. There are presets too, so that you can set up your own presets, create new ones just as you'd like. But then there are options for shooting cinematic video and things like that. Switching between time lapse, slow shutter video, and photo. There are just lots of different settings in here, lots of different options that make this a fantastic app for shooting both videos and photos, including, as you can see, options for how photos are processed on the phone, how videos are processed on the phone, what bit rate they have. So many different things here. And then this, of course, is great for using with Moment's lenses.
Nice.
Look at that little histogram right down there. Check that bad boy out. And I can switch between, I think that's luminance values and then the RGB normal levels scales. Look, it's even got a little audio monitor down at the very bottom there as well. So it can do it all, but it also, like I said, works very well with Moment's lenses, including a setting to, and I have no idea what this means, but I'm sure there are people out there who do. The viewfinder will always be de-squeezed with the anamorphic lens selected, but you can choose if the de-squeeze is applied to the captured file. What is de-squeeze? I don't know, but maybe when you're using the anamorphic lens, that's an important thing. And then it also has settings I forgot to mention here for if you're using it with a gimbal. So you can make sure that the Bluetooth gimbal is connected, and then there are even special settings for Osmo Mobile based on if you have the Osmo connected, it can change exposure value, shutter speed, ISO, focus, white balance.
I love the Osmo. We use that here.
Yeah.
Masako uses it for some of her shots.
So that, folks, is the very excellent, very cool Pro Camera by Moment. And
how much is
that? I think it is $5.99 in the App Store, but it's a one-time purchase. There are no IAPs or anything like that. In-app purchases, you purchase it once and it's yours. But with all those different features that are available, the very simple to see options for metering your video, it also has focus peaking and stuff like that in the settings. I think it's a fantastic app to sort of be a buy once and use regardless of if you're taking photos or videos. But I wanted to mention it, especially for videos, given this episode. Pro Camera by Moment.
Nice. Now, I have one. Actually, I have two app caps.
Yeah.
But because I thought I do one serious and then I do one fun. How about that?
Okay.
I'll start with the serious. We were talking earlier about the issue with Zoom. And there is an open source, end-to-end encrypted program that has most of the functionality of Zoom, but doesn't cost you any money. I know a lot of people say, oh, he's thinking about Discord. I'm not a huge Discord fan, to be honest. I like Jitsi better, and Jitsi's been around. But let's make a room, and you can join it if you. The nice thing about Jitsi is you don't even have to have the software. It uses something called WebRTC. So I'm going to make an iOS Today room. I'm going to create that. Right now, I'm the only one in there, and I can turn on my camera so you can see that I am, in fact, in here. In fact, let me go. but I can invite you. In fact, I'll invite everybody by pressing this Invite Others button. And then you can see I see Micah Sargent. Let me go off of that real quickly because I don't know if it's going to show your number. It is, but I guess it doesn't. So I can show this. Yeah. So here's the deal. This is what people would get as a message. It says, "Click the following link to join the meeting: meet.jit.si/iostoday." That will be, if you click that, and anybody can do that. You can all join our meeting. I've made it public. Uh-oh. Now we're getting a lot of people in here. You can also do a phone-in. That's free, right? So this is a really cool system to do. You could use it with your family, but you could also do it. There's Micah. He's joining us. Let's see if I can put this full screen here. There he is. Hey. Micah, what the hell is that weird hat you're wearing? Oh, and look, there's going to be a lot of other people joining the meeting. You see that in the lower right now. So here's my picture. Here's Micah. The quality's great, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed. And this is, where is this, where does this exist? How
it's
is
open
this?
Source. You can, in fact, if you want, if you have the skills, run your own Jitsi server. So you could actually, if you really want privacy and you know what you're doing, you could do it on DigitalOcean. There are lots of places you could do it. You don't have to have a server in your house, but I could easily run a Jitsi server. And because it uses an open source technology, WebRTC, came out of Google, it's very simple for everybody to use. You just click that link, right? And suddenly you're in the Jitsi along with everybody else. There's quite a few people in there. We could see some other fans in our Jitsi. Hey, it's you. You're on the radio. And
hello.
I'm not turning on their audio because I don't know what they're going to say. So
exactly.
But isn't that cool? Here's another listener who said, "Oh, I could join it." Probably some of these people are chatters because they're watching live. So it's a really cool way to do a conference call, Zoom style conference call. It doesn't have, you don't have the funny backgrounds. There's some limitations in that regard. But it's open source and it's end-to-end encryption. Micah's now talking to everybody in there.
I'm just waving.
he's waving back. Hey, isn't that cool? So I think this is a really nice solution. If you're saying, I don't know if I trust Zoom. I want something that's easy to use. You saw it looks just like a standard Zoom meet. Or meetup kind of an invitation. It's easy to click. You didn't install, notice, any software, did you? It just runs in the browser, even on an iOS device. They have an iOS app, but it is completely open source and available to anybody. You could even run your own server for complete privacy. J-I-T-S-I, Jitsi.
So I just wanted jealous. One of our viewers is drinking some coffee.
Oh, he looks like a coffee achiever. Look at him. Yeah.
I see there's an option here. It says start live stream. So does that mean that you can turn this
from a
video conference to a live stream?
It's what Joe Biden should have used. So
I see.
play with it a little bit. It has a lot of features. I think it's a really a great – let me put this on, and I can show you some of the settings. You can invite people. You can. There's a low bandwidth mode. That's probably what you should have been using today. If you want to join in the conference, there's a raise your hand button. There's lots of options. This is a very nice. And this is probably the most important one at the very bottom, add meeting password. So if you don't want people, we're getting Jitsi bombed right now by a lot of people who decided to join us. And we love that. That's great. But it's not a requirement. It could be a public Jitsi as well. So J-I-T-S-I. Actually, Discord's very good too, and that's also open source, freely available. But there are a lot of choices. You don't have to use the obvious Zoom choice. And if you're a little worried about, a little, as some of us are, paranoid about the privacy implications with Zoom, this might be something you want to take a look at. Notice, by the way, when I close the app, Or swipe it closed. Do you see the little phone call icon? It's going in the background, and it's still going. So you can do other stuff on your iPad or your device while you're in the Jitsi call. In order to completely hang up, you just do that, and now it's gone. So I've just closed our conference. I don't know. Did it close for you?
I had already backed out.
You already got out of it. Okay. Yeah. Now, that was the business app. Although I think a lot of families might want to use it. House Party's a good choice. If you're not worried about privacy, Zoom's fine. It's just, you know, there are choices. Let's put it that way. You don't have to use the default. Remember Missile Command? Are you too young to remember Missile Command?
I think I may be, but let me see what it looks like. And then
this
that could
was be familiar. One of the very – there was Asteroids and Missile Command from Atari, one of the very first arcade games to become really, really popular. It's back, baby. It's called Missile Command. It's from Atari, even. It's called Missile – what's it has a – it'll say.
Recharge.
Recharge. Thank you. But it is the game. And I'll tell you what, as simple as this game is – and by the way, they have an augmented reality version.
I just saw that.
Yeah, but I'll play the basic version because people who have played this game will absolutely recognize Missile Command. These are your bases. There's incoming missiles. Oh, and by the way, you have to lead them because you can only fire a certain number of missiles at a time. And they're trying to destroy your guns as the missiles come in. Your goal is to keep them from destroying your guns. But here's the problem. They come faster and furiouser, and it's pretty much impossible to survive forever.
I'm digging the music.
Oh, I just missed that one. I'll see if I get two with one shot. There we go. I got a mega. But yeah, it's fun. This is classic arcade music, right? The kind of relentless. Dun, 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 dun. So I'm actually doing better than I've ever done in Missile Command before.
Because you're on stage.
Because I'm on stage. I got this high speed. Uh-oh. I don't know if I wanted to hit that one. See how they're going in fast? Oh, man, coming in hot. So if you liked Missile Command, the game is free. I think there's a in-app purchase. Oh, he got me. Oh, in fact, they're all... Oh, no. I'll let them destroy me. So Missile Command is back, baby. It's a lot of fun. And if you played this as I did in your misspent youth, you will enjoy it. So you
now,
can
is this
play
on
it like
Apple Arcade, or is this
no
separate?
No? It's a Atari game. It's it's free to do what we did. There are some paid upgrades in the store, so you know. But you don't. If you want to play the classic Missile Command, you know what I haven't tried yet though. Let's do the AR version because I haven't really tried that. So let's see what I bet on your camera. It would look good. It says, tilt your device to the floor, move it slowly to calibrate. All right. Wow, wouldn't it be great to have... I wonder if it becomes an arcade game.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun.
Like a console.
I think it is.
OMG.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That's the original Missile Command in my office. Floating in the air.
It's on your desk.
I'm not tall enough to reach it. This is what it must be like when you're 3 years old and you want to play Missile Command.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Oh, my God. I'm getting this app so I can try it on your new iPad before I bring it to you.
Yeah, yeah. It should be really good on the new iPad. So Missile Command from Atari. We're all stuck at home. But for memories from the good old days, that is an awesome one. I need some quarters now.
Yeah,
I wasted a lot of quarters on that game.
And you need a footstool.
Yes. Hello. I'll play like this. Anyway, a couple of app caps for you. One fun, one serious. Micah Sargent.
That's so fun.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm glad you're sheltering in place and you're staying safe.
Yeah, I got a little worried there. I have to tell you, Leo. I started to think that there were some symptoms showing up that had me concerned, but there was no sore throat involved. There was just a little bit of congestion, stuff like that. And it ended up, it's been now
Thank goodness.
About, I think, 2 weeks since that happened. Yeah. And I think it's just because I was outside for the first time in a while and my allergies were getting to me.
You know what? We've all been coughing in Petaluma and sneezing, and because there's bad allergies right now, probably around much of the country. Let me just check. I'm going to check my temperature very quickly to make sure. Oh, good. My body temperature, the trend is excellent. No rise. This is that Aura ring that I wear. Also, I'm really kind of crazy. I also do my Kinsa thermometer.
Aura is now doing a study with, I believe it's
UCSF.
Yeah. You saw. Cool.
Yep. And this morning, 98.2, no fever.
And 98.2, no fever.
No fever.
Stay tuned.
No
it
fever.
Sounds like a radio station. 98.2, no fever.
No fever. Unfortunately. This is, I think, the real problem with COVID-19 is it's possible to have no symptoms and be infectious. So that's why we're doing the right thing. We're all staying home. And I'm glad you decided to spend some of that at home time with us here at iOS today. We do our show every Tuesday. You can watch it live if you want, 9 a.m. And if you do, then you can do things like join us in our Jitsi, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern time, 1600 UTC. You can go to the live streams at twit.tv/live. That'll let you choose between YouTube and Mixer and Twitch and wherever else we are these days. And there's also an audio stream there. After the fact, on-demand versions of everything we do available at our website. For this show, it's twit.tv/iOS. Now, if you have a question, Micah's got the email address.
I do. It's iostoday@twit.tv. So you, like Steve and Joyzy and John in Crystal, Minnesota, can get your questions answered.
Record them. Put them on YouTube. You can make it a private video on YouTube. It'd be nice to see you. But any way you want to do it.
Jitsius. Oh, wait, no.
Jitsius. For iOS Today, I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Micah Sargent.
And we'll see you next time. Stay safe.